We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, and welcome to the Papers podcast series, the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Mark Tebbs, and I'm a freelance consultant. If you're a fan of one of our podcast series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform to share with friends and colleagues. Today, I'm delighted to be interviewing Dr. Christina Cruz, Dr. Michael Matergia, and Ms. Priscilla Geary, who are the lead authors of a paper entitled Reseed, the Perceived Impact of an Enhanced Usual Care Model of a Novel Teacher-Led Task-Shifting Initiative for Child Mental Health, recently published in the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Journal. Welcome. It's been lovely to speaking to you today.
Thank you for having us.
Good stuff. So could we start with some introductions? If you could introduce yourself and introduce, there was other authors in the paper, if you could introduce them as well, that would be great.
Sure, I can start. So my name is Dr. Christina Cruz. I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist. I'm faculty at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in the United States, and I have a degree in medicine as well as in education.
So I'm Dr. Michael Matergia. I am a family medicine physician and an associate program director at a family medicine residency at Intermountain Health, an investigator at the Colorado School of Public Health, and co-founder of the non-governmental organization Broadleaf Health and Education Alliance, all here in the United States.
Hi, everyone. My name is Priscilla Giri, and I work for a non-government organization in Darjeeling, India. And my background is a psychiatric social worker.
Thank you. There are other authors in the paper. Could you tell us who they were and their roles?
Absolutely. So our first author is Satara Ektare. She is a medical student at the University of Colorado, Denver, and will soon be pursuing residency. Juliana Vanderberg, who just graduated from UNC, where I'm faculty in school psychology with her PhD. Chodan Dukpa, who is one of our lead mental health researchers in Darjeeling, alongside Priscilla at the organization Darjeeling Leyden La Roprerna, or DLRP. Sureka Badarai, she is one of our researchers as well as an interventionist in mental health, as well as Arpana Tapa, both of them at DLRP. Brad Gaines is a global mental health faculty at UNC who worked with us on this. And Molly Lamb is an epidemiologist out of the University of Colorado, Denver as well.
Brilliant. Thanks for the introductions for you, yourselves, and the team. So let's turn to the research article. Could you start with just giving us a brief overview of the paper?
Absolutely. So in this article, we were studying RESEED, which stands for Responding to Students' Emotions Through Education. It was designed as an enhanced usual care comparator to our broader intervention named Tea Leaf Manzik Swastha, or Teachers Leading the Frontlines Mental Health. So in general, these are task-shifting interventions, having teachers be the folks delivering care. And we'll get into task-shifting in a moment. But essentially, task-shifting is where folks in the community learn how to deliver parts of care because access is poor throughout the world. So Priscilla, Mike, and I thought that teachers would be a great medium through which kids could get mental health care. They already informally support their students with mental health needs in the interactions they have with them every day, whether actually in crisis or to support positive behavior. So we created Tea Leaf to equip them with therapy skills to turn those moments of informal support into moments of formal care. We created Tea Leaf within 4 Darjeeling to improve access to the care there, but it had to be an alternative system because of the lack of mental health specialists globally. So I say all of that to then introduce RESEED as being part of Tea Leaf. RESEED is the first part of Tea Leaf where they are introduced to mental health concepts, behavior theory, and then some of Tea Leaf therapy tools, but they don't get the in-depth training in the therapy skills or coaching throughout the year. It's more meant as an introduction. And again, I alluded to this, but RESEED was created as an ethical comparator to Tea Leaf. When we were first going through the Tea Leaf trial, it was clear from our ethics review that having what is typically a true control, which is no intervention, was simply unethical in an area where identifying children with mental health needs would then leave them with absolutely no care. That standard of care essentially is no care. So we created RESEED, as in this paper, in order to be able to provide something to children who might be in the comparator part, which is, you know, not quite as intensive. In this paper, essentially what we learned and what we focused on is that RECEIVE served an incredibly important role for teachers as a mental reframing. There's a bit of mental health literacy that comes in, but also it turns out just even introducing the tools got them thinking differently. So in this paper, we learned these findings through 10 focus group discussions across 29 teachers. We found the findings to be robust and a bit surprising, as we'll get into later. But we were happy to see that it did in fact serve the role that we had intended for it to have, which was to provide something to children who were identified. But I think it went further than we anticipated.
Brilliant. Thanks for that overview. It'd be really useful to clarify whether there are any technical terms or any definitions that would be useful to unpack a little bit more.
Yeah, so I think there's a few terms that we use in our paper that we could clarify. One is we allude to step levels of teacher-led care. And the other is this notion of task shifting. So the first, when we're talking about step levels of care, step care is a model for mental health delivery where the most effective yet least resource-intensive treatment is prioritized for delivery first. And then from there, program intensity can either be stepped up or step down depending on need and available resources. So within the context of teacher-led mental health care, RECEIVE may be viewed as that first level. And then it can be stepped up to the more intensive version of teacher-delivered therapy, which is TLEAF. The second concept is task shifting. So task shifting formally is defined by the WHO as the rational redistribution of tasks among health workforce teams. In terms of global mental health, this often involves the training of non-specialist health workers or lay counselors, individuals with little or no prior formal training or background in mental health care, to deliver actual care, such as brief, low-intensity psychological treatments or talk therapy. In our work, it's a little bit different because we're working with a specialist, just a different type of specialist, teachers. And teachers are experts in child development. And we are working to leverage these strengths to have them then take on or task shift to them mental health care tasks that may more traditionally be viewed as the domain or purview of mental health professionals. Those are the two technical terms that I think give a good basis for understanding the work that we're going to talk about today.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's really, really helpful. Thank you for that. So let's turn our minds really to the start of your work. I'd be really interested to understand what your original research aims were.
I think even we'll step back to before we even considered ourselves researchers and how we got involved in mental health at all. So the three of us began this journey, Priscilla, Christina, and I, along with our colleagues, when we were working in the context of school health promotion or trying to figure out how do you deliver school health in rural Darjeeling primary schools. And this is around the time, at least in Darjeeling, that there was that epidemiologic transition from infectious disease, diarrhea, and waterborne illness to more starting to think about, as the burden of those illnesses fell, more chronic diseases. And in children, we were seeing children in these schools with behavioral health challenges. And we thought, like, let's help those children. And that was an unintentionally ambitious thing for us to think about and started us on this path towards mental health. And so for several years, we were trying to figure out how do you support children in rural Darjeeling who are facing mental health challenges, and ultimately developed a model for teacher-delivered mental health care that we thought was like, oh, this is quite novel and quite promising. We had some pilot data that was pretty impressive that we presented in some other papers. And then we're like, okay, we got to rigorously evaluate this within a randomized control trial. And as Christina alluded to, you know, we started thinking about, okay, a control trial involves a control arm. Control arms in mental health trials, we usually think of as usual care. But in the environment we're working, like, usual care really means no care at all, which is quite ethically challenging. The idea that we would identify a child in need, but then not have any care provided to them was ultimately ethically and morally distressing to us and gave birth to what is RECEED. You know, we basically said, we need to think about what would care in this environment look like without a significant increase in resource investment, but still be viable. So tea leaf requires at full intensity, requires a certain level of resources. And so we designed a comparator as something that we felt was viable without significant additional resources. And then that became RECEED. The first year, because of the way we designed our initial trial, it was designed to be a stepped wedge randomized control trial in which all schools started out in the control arm. And so in 2019, we had a cohort of schools all receiving RECEED. We had a sense that this isn't just a research tool. It's not just a tool to complete a trial. Like RECEED in and of itself is a form of intervention, and it's really important that we develop a deep understanding of it. And so we designed a protocol to generate this understanding and the findings that we're presenting in the manuscript and discussing today. I think ultimately, just to round that out, you know, this was 2019. The second year when some of the schools would have entered the tea leaf intervention was 2020. And obviously things changed quite dramatically in 2020. And so that particular version of our trial was suspended during the COVID-19 pandemic and school shutdown period, but had a really robust year of experience that we've gone back to and I think have some interesting findings to share with the world.
Great stuff. It's really helpful to understand that journey. Were there any particular research gaps that you were trying to address?
You know, the core of our work is this, we're inspired by teachers. We're inspired by the potential teachers in Darjeeling and really around the globe to improve the mental well-being of children. And I think it's pretty widely recognized that teachers can deliver social emotional learning and supports, and that they can also identify struggling children and refer them to further professional services. However, when we start talking about teachers delivering mental health care, serving themselves as forms of mental health professionals, that's when we run into much more doubt. And as our paper highlights, there are certainly barriers that teachers face, academic pressures, and all these other requirements that are stretching them to their limits. Through our research, what we want to understand is if and how teachers can not only recognize a child in distress, but then respond with the delivery of therapeutic care. In this particular aspect of our research, we are looking at one version, RECEED, that we think is potentially a viable approach to task shifting care to teachers.
Thank you. Let's turn to the methodology. You use a qualitative approach. Could you tell us how you conducted this study and whether there are any particular challenges to the work?
Yes, sure. So we conducted around 10 FGDs, focus group discussions at the end of the intervention to learn about how the teachers' experiences were about RECEED. So the program itself aligns with the school year here in Darjeeling, where we start with the training in the beginning of school year. And the end of the training, we do these FGDs and qualitative interviews with the teachers and the networks that we build. So by the end of December, that is when the school year ends, we conducted these FGDs with teachers. And these FGDs are usually conducted in the school setting or in community setting, which is more convenient for the teachers itself. So as we know that in Darjeeling, these schools are spread out in a very large landscape. Traveling to these communities take a long time. Having all the teachers come and sit for these FGDs was another challenge that we experienced. So we had to host multiple FGDs to have engagements or have understanding of the teachers' perspectives and experiences. So also to understand the cultural context of different schools that we partnered with, we had to conduct these 10 FGDs to have an individual as well as the contextual perspective of the area.
Thank you. Yeah, that geography sounds challenging. You mentioned the context and the setting. Could you just describe a little bit more about the context for the study?
Yes, so Darjeeling lies in the eastern Himalaya part of India, and most of the communities in the Darjeeling Himalayan region are natural resource dependent, so mostly small-scale agriculture. Tea and cinchona plantation is very huge, and also we are dependent on the forest. But the issues that we all experiences are low remuneration of all the three main resources, natural resources. So we have limited infrastructure, we have limited market space, and also exposure to knowledge and skills. We are kind of have had experiences in difficulties because of human wildlife conflicts, climate change impacts, and also there is a huge low employment opportunities, which has led to out migration. So all these factors, especially with the which impacts the mental health, and also the general impact of the global pandemic, has affected the economy, the politics, as well as the whole area or the region itself. So the need to work on the issues of mental health is more progressively being seen even after the global pandemic.
Thank you for that. So let's turn to the results. So what were the key findings?
So overall, RECEED as a teacher-led task-shifting youth mental health initiative involving in a 3-day training with minimal external support. So teachers found RECEED to be overall very acceptable and perceived positive behavioral and academic changes in students and changes in beliefs about the mental health in themselves. So teachers have expressed an improved understanding of child behavior patterns and also perceived possibly increased empathy for students. So with continued need for the novel youth mental health approach, RECEED represents a potentially acceptable and feasible minimal resource first step to improving mental health literacy in teachers and also beginning to address youth mental health needs in low-income countries.
Yeah, really important. Was there anything in your results that surprised you?
So the program was designed in a way where we thought RECEED could be the basic level of training where teachers might not be able to take in as much as possible, because we believe the coaching process that takes place throughout the school year helps the teacher imbibe the training and apply it in their own day-to-day practices. But without the external support, the teachers were able to understand the concepts of the training as well as use some of the tools that was explained in the training in their day-to-day activities. So that was something which was very surprising, that how acceptable it was among the teachers. One of the main reason could be because the teachers were never exposed to such trainings. This was the first time a teacher was coming together to express or to have an understanding of the child and also the whole perspective of the child's mental health. So this could be one of the reasons to have the teacher feel more acceptable of the whole concept.
That's great. I'd like to turn to the implications of your work and maybe thinking initially about from a policy perspective. So what messages would you give to policymakers thinking about how best to support child mental health in resource-limited countries?
That's a great question. I think one of the big takeaways is that the solutions may already be there, even in resource-limited settings. We've got people, and we've got people who care, and we have people who are capable of learning. And so I think it speaks to the importance of task shifting, in that one has to be creative in places with fewer resources or fewer trained professionals, but it's possible with creativity. You just need to think a little bit outside the box of how are we going to get this done. That's one big piece. The other big piece that we didn't quite touch on, but that would be important for policymakers to consider, is that with things like task shifting in resource limited settings, people are proud of what they do, but in order to continue to do so, they'll need to be remunerated on some level. They are filling a role that is unfilled and that requires quite a bit of skill. And so to sustain that, it might not be much, but just enough to keep them engaged. And we're seeing that play out today in the New York Times, for example. There was an article this week about community health workers feeling like they were not being remunerated for incredibly important services and starting to not want to engage in that way. And so while it's not necessarily free, I think it's a relatively lower cost to get services into play. So it's a complicated picture of resources are there, but some should be spent in order for there to be sustainability eventually.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's low cost, but it's not free. It needs to be kind of rewarded. So I'm just thinking about the teachers working in those settings. Is there any advice or implications from a practice or intervention perspective?
I think in terms of practice or intervention, one of the big lessons we learned from RECEED, as Priscilla was saying, was that teachers wanted this. From the ground up, they are already dealing in the classroom with children with mental health concerns. So whether it was RECEED, where we gave them just enough that they still wanted to use it, or fully Tea Leaf, where we then support many more skills throughout the year, they were eager to have it. And I'll share a quote from the paper to illustrate this. This training taught us how to handle and help these types of children by being a bit loving and attentive towards them. And another teacher then said, "We are very blessed to have received training from you, and we learned a great deal on how to handle children at school." And so I think these two quotes kind of illustrate what was taught to them and then how it was received. And that RECEED, you know, we came up with the acronym, but it was really meant to say, like, we're trying to change the landscape. We're reseeding the ground. And in fact, what happened was a mental reframing. And so they learned to think about children in a different way, with agency and with ones who have motives that can be engaged. And then they really liked it, in part to Priscilla's point, because they had never had this kind of training before. But we also know worldwide that mental health training is not a requirement for teacher training. And 1 in 5 children have a mental health condition, and potentially up to 2 in 5 after the pandemic. So this is a really important skill for teachers to have, and it turns out effective in improving children's mental health. And so I think that's the big lesson from teachers, is that they're willing, it needs to be structured well, they should be remunerated, but gosh, it can go a really long way.
And from a research perspective, are there any potential implications?
Absolutely. I think both Mike and I have talked to the birth of RECEED, and that what was really interesting here is that research first, I think, elevated mental health, at least amongst some in the Darjeeling region, to be important. And then the context, by us being there, changed how we did the research, where we went from having Tea Leaf and having a control trial with standard of care, which is essentially no care, to then elevating standard of care to be this enhanced usual care, or RECEED. And so I think that was the lesson for us in terms of research, which was that it's an iterative process when you're doing community-based research between the researchers and clinicians and then the community you're working with. And so we've been really grateful to the community to be able to continue to work with them in this way, because they're guiding us and then we can guide them. And together we're creating this new kind of care.
I love that. So have you got any follow-up research that you're sort of like doing or planning?
Yeah, so as I alluded to previously, this began in 2019. We had a 3 to 4 year trial planned, and then COVID came and wham, shut it down. But the questions still remain valid. Is Tea Leaf in a controlled setting? Is it effective? And can it be implemented at a larger scale? And so I think those questions existed, and then the pandemic made them even more important, more pertinent. We've seen an explosion in interest in this work that wasn't quite there pre-pandemic, because I think it's hard to ignore youth mental health in 2023. And so we took what we shut down in RCT, we adapted that, and then in 2022, we began that process again. It's a little bit different based on what we're talking about here, in that RECEED, it's viewed as the comparator, but it's also that step. It's that step care. It's that first step before Tea Leaf. And so it's more of an integral part of what we're doing rather than a research tool in and of itself. So Priscilla is living this every day. She is driving around that incredibly rough context of Darjeeling that she talked about, day in and day out, visiting schools right now, because we're in the midst of this. We're in the second year of a 4 year trial, and there, so we're in our second step, and there's about 20 schools that are receiving Tea Leaf during this academic year and 40 schools that are receiving the RECEED intervention. It's really fun and really exciting. And maybe we'll be back on your podcast in a few years to talk about the results of that full trial.
Definitely look forward to that. We're coming to the end. What are the final take-home messages?
Yeah, so the research we're discussing today is the experience of a particular intervention, RECEED, in a specific context of the Darjeeling Himalayas. But if we zoom out and take a broader view of this, there's been a term that's been thrown around recently, youth mental health crisis. And the enormity of that challenge can kind of become clear. Pre-COVID, 10 to 20% of children had a diagnosable mental health condition. And post-pandemic, that might be up to 40% in some regions of the world. Basically, I think mental health was important, and the pandemic and post-pandemic experience really has only added fuel to an already raging fire. And I imagine that most of the listeners on the podcast are like us. They're physicians, psychiatrists, social workers. And I think there is immense value in our services, in our professional services. However, this idea that we're going to be able to tackle this challenge ourselves, that we can support all these youth with professionalized one-on-one services, medications, and counseling would be almost a bit naive. There's a desperate need for innovation. We've been lucky enough that we kind of started this 10, 11 years ago in Darjeeling, and have worked, really hard to develop a system, get our work to a point where we think a novel system of care is emerging. And I think ultimately the takeaway from our work is that we believe that teachers have immense promise to meet youth where they are in their school, in their everyday environment, and deliver mental health care.
Thank you so much. It's really important work. I really appreciate your time. It's been a really interesting podcast. For more details on Dr. Christina Cruz, Dr. Michael Matergia, and Ms. Priscilla Geary, please visit the ACAM website, which is www.acam.org. and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled ACAMH. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.